Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to Feedback. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on the rather soggy Monday morning, at least here in our part of the world. 715-845-2155 is the phone number in case you want to be a part of it, and we would encourage you to be a part of it. This is where you get to voice your opinion about things that we're talking about. Let's talk about Syria for a little while. New developments are happening. Of course, you know, UN inspectors are on their way. They are in Damascus. They've been there for 8 days now, taking a look around, trying to determine what happened, when, who was responsible, the alleged circumstances. Of course, as you probably know, that somebody used chemical gas, sarin, and perhaps others on individuals, mostly civilians. It looks like a lot of children were killed in the attack. And now the world is looking and trying to determine who did it, who's responsible, and what do we do about it once we determine, if we determine, that actually chemical weapons were used. The Syrian government, of course, has been laying blame at the rebels. The rebels are pointing the finger directly at the Syrian government, led by President Assad. Assad kind of is the usual suspect here. He's very well known as being brutal and dictatorial. He has very little regard for the people that he's actually, quote-unquote, president over. His way or the highway. Sociopath. Then we have the UN Security Council. These are member nations that get together, take a look at the threats that are happening in the world, and decide if there's action that should be taken. Can anyone in their right mind look at the deaths from chemical attacks and say nothing should be done? Is there seriously anybody that cares at all about another human being that looks at the violation of international law against using chemical weapons, especially on your own population, just sits back and goes, nah, we really shouldn't do that? Yes, there are. Russia and China. China is saying you shouldn't do anything at all about this. Stay out of it. Russia, at least, is being slightly more reasonable and saying don't predetermine the outcome of the investigation before you know all the facts. Don't make another Iraqi mistake. That, of course, is a slap in our face. So, now that the UN inspectors are there, this morning they come under sniper fire. They are rolling through the towns in northern Damascus trying to figure out what's going on, and they come under sniper fire, repeated sniper fire. One vehicle was hit multiple times. As of yet, no reports of any injuries. So what does this tell you as all of this is developing? What do you think we should do about this? What do you think is the right response? And do you think we are in a position to have any kind of response whatsoever? What do you think?
Well, they're talking to our allies now about what kind of response there will be. There has to be some sort of response. Now, the question is, what can we do and what mm-hmm. should we do? The idea that we have possibly, and I gave you a story that is being reported in a magazine called Foreign Policy, CIA documents showing that we might have not only looked the other way, but actively helped Iraq in their war with Iran back in the 80s use chemical weapons on the Iranian people.
This the source, Foreign Policy, is this one of your liberal I Hate America sources?
Well, I think Foreign Policy is just a wonky type, you know, magazine that deals with foreign policy issues.
They take a look at what's going on. According to the article that Tom's referring to, it says, the article says that the U.S. government may, it says in 1988, during the waning days of the Iraqi war.
Iraq-Iran war.
Yeah, the Iraq-Iran war. The United States learned through satellite imagery that Iran was about to gain a major strategic advantage.
Of course, we backed Saddam Hussein and Iraq in that war.
Yeah, that wasn't a mistake. U.S. intelligence officials then, seeing that they thought Iran may get a military advantage over Iraq, U.S. intelligence officials conveyed the location of the Iranian troops to Iraq And the article says that we in the United States, our government, was fully aware that Hussein military would attack with chemical weapons, including sarin, et cetera, et cetera. I am not going to say that I doubt we gave the Iraqis a heads up on military position for the Iranians, but I have a hard time thinking that the Reagan administration would assume and approve of a chemical weapons attack on the Iran on the Iranians. Now, a strategic or a standard military attack, sure. Because our foreign policy at the time, we were snuggled up to Saddam Hussein. But I have a real hard time with their assumption that the Reagan administration would condone chemical warfare. I have a hard time. I don't doubt that the CIA was giving intelligence to the Iraqis. I don't doubt that maybe we were even helping them in other ways. But I really have a hard time with the article saying that we would have approved of, or at the very least, look the other way of a chemical attack. I just don't buy that.
I haven't read the article yet, but could this have been guys in the CIA? And remember, this was the time of Bill Casey and those guys in the CIA who sort of, played fast and loose with what the CIA rules. Was supposed to do and not supposed to do. Could this be one of the occasions when they decided not to tell the people higher up the chain what they knew?
Oh, yeah. Obviously. And then you've got plausible deniability. Plausible deniability is a wonderful asset. You come in and say, hey, we told them that they should attack the Iranians. We didn't say go after them with chemical warfare. Well, you knew that that's what they had. Yeah, but we didn't know they were going to use it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is where politics and foreign policy and the State Department and the CIA, everybody gets all involved. And it's like, oh, this gets sticky really, really fast. Well, with the issue of Syria, we know that about a year ago, the president issued to the Syrian government, said that, hey, it's a red line that could trigger military action if you use chemical weapons. So that's what the UN inspectors are there for, to figure out what's happening.
To determine if it was Assad's government,
yeah,
if it was the rebels, if it was the rebels making it look like it was Assad's government, yeah, in order to get intervention, yeah, from outside.
Here's the thing that we got to look at. A, was chemical weapons used? I mean, were they being deployed? That's very difficult to find. Second of all, who is the one that did the throwing? Was it the Syrians or the rebels? The Syrians have made attacks look like it was rebel forces. The rebels have made attacks look like it was Syrian forces. This happens. The UN Security Council, however, who would be the one to sanction a military action against Syria, is divided right now because of the two forces we've just talked about, China and Russia. China's foreign ministry, Wang Yi, said earlier this week that that diplomats should be cautious in dealing with the chemical weapons issue. It's very interesting. What do you mean being cautious? If it's being used, something has to be done about it. Moscow warns that Western nations should not prejudge the outcome of the inspections. Little polite backhanded slap to the U.S. United Kingdom, the U.K. Foreign Secretary William Hague, told the BBC news agency that action could be taken without UN approval if there was, quote, great humanitarian need in Syria. French, do we really even need to talk about the French? Okay, the French weighed in. Laurent Fabius suggested that the UN Security Council could be bypassed in certain circumstances. Turkish Foreign Minister Ahmet Davut, we're just going to call him Ahmet, he told their local news agency that more than 30 countries have already begun discussing how to act on Syria if the UN fails to agree.
The ranking Senate Foreign Relations Committee Republican Bob Corker was on the talk shows this morning, and he is urging a surgical U.S. airstrike against Syria in reprisal. Corker says that, quote, I do think action is going to occur militarily in response to the purported chemical weapons use last week. He says the Obama administration, quote, feels there's no question chemicals were used, and says it is seeking to rally its NATO allies to support a military response. Corker added, I think it should be surgical, it should be proportional, it should be in response or responsive to what happened on the ground.
I'll go along with that.
He says, I think we can get it right without us getting mired in a conflict. He also said that the president can act without congressional approval in this situation, but he thinks that the president should come to Congress, even if it's just as a formality to say, look, I want you on board when we do this.
If we're going to do anything, it definitely needs to be as big of a coalition as we can get, but right. It has to be done quickly. We can't have any of this, well, let's wait 6 months and write them a harshly worded letter. None of that crap. It's got to be done. It's got to be done very quickly. I agree with the surgical strike. Get in, get it done, and get the heck out of there. No lingering around, no boots on the ground in this particular case. It needs to be a coalition because the Russians and the Chinese are not going to be pleased about this at all.
By proportional, I mean, what do you mean? Do you mean a few radar sites being blown up? I mean, or are we going to actively seek regime change with the military action that we bring down?
Okay, now, me personally, this is what I would say. Enough of dealing with this punk's Assad. It's just enough is enough. We've been dealing with this guy. We have told him point blank, you use chemical weapons, we're going to kick your butt. So my, if I were the one calling the shots here, and you know.
President Mila.
Yeah.
The phone is ringing. What are we going to do?
Where is Assad? Where's Assad and his cronies?
So you're going to send in.
Blow them to smithereens.
Send in strikes like we did with Gaddafi in Libya.
Just blow the crap out of them. Blow them into tiny little pieces and then be done and say, okay, we told you. Don't mess around with the chemical weapons. When you do that, this is what happens. Let that be a lesson to everybody else. Quick, extremely brutal, extremely fast, and then get the heck out. Now it's your opportunity to tell us what you think. 715-845-2155. What's on your mind? We'll take your calls when we get back. This is Feedback.
Severe weather updates on WSAU.com. And on air at AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. 8:23 as we wade through this soggy Monday morning. I think one of the things that the lesson that we need to take away from this conflict in Syria, look at this part of the world. Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, the Palestinian state. What I'm saying is this part of the world is a rolling conflict. One thing after another happens in this part of the world. There is no peace in this part. Tom, in your lifetime, have you ever experienced a lasting time frame, or can you think of a lasting time frame, even going through history, where this part of the world was conflict free?
Entirely, no. But I mean, certainly we have had places. I mean, Egypt and Israel have had a long standing peace treaty.
But look what happened when Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin got together and they formed that peace treaty between Egypt and Israel. Look what happened.
Sadat was killed.
Yeah. He was assassinated, and this is the thing that I'm talking about. Even with that, was probably, if not the biggest success of the Carter administration, it was one of them to actually broker a deal between these two nations when history has shown they didn't get along. To be able to put together two reasonable individuals and have them come together. And actually work things out. I think in our history, in dealing with the Soviets, when Mikhail
Gorbachev?
Thank you. For all of a sudden, I was coming up with Baryshnikov. I was like, no, that's not the Russian. It's the guy with the grape juice stain on his head. When we had Reagan and the Russian leader get together, these two individuals from the history that I've read, these two people actually liked each other. They had very, very different political views, but as individuals, they actually liked each other and formed a type of a friendship. There was a lot that happened there because of that. With the Israelis and the Egyptians, I believe through Carter, they found a way to actually get along and solve things. But in this part of the world, the Middle East, there has been conflict and war and struggle and strife and hardship for thousands of years. And it's not going to change. So you have to use common sense when we're deciding as a country to get involved.
It's going to be very difficult when you sit on one side and say, this is a humanitarian crisis. There are kids being killed. There are kids being gassed. We cannot sit by and do nothing like we did in places like Rwanda or the Sudan. Mm-hmm. And the other side, we have to look at saying, we are not going to send boots in on the ground and get bogged down in another Afghanistan or another Iraq.
Right.
We do not want that to happen.
There's a couple major differences, of course, with this particular circumstance in Syria and the issues that you just mentioned in Sudan, Darfur, and so forth. This is a clear violation. The allegations are that the Syrian government clearly broke international law by using a banned weapon, chemical warfare. This has been banned since the end of World War I. In the African nations, and this was a lot of that is local leaders, local warlords using their people as pawns in their local struggles and starving them and abusing them and
well, I mean, there was there was genocide going on in Rwanda, and we basically ignored it. And Bill Clinton said that was one of the biggest mistakes of his administration was the fact that they did nothing when the genocide was going on in Rwanda and those Central African countries.
That, if I remember right, that was the conflict between the Hutu and the Tutsis,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did you? I know I'm going to go off on a tangent here. Do you know basically what the reason was for that conflict?
Just the old, age old, you're different than than I am.
And exactly.
The star-bellied sneeches, like Dr. Seuss, man.
Yes.
It's been going on forever.
It is nothing more than you look different than I do. One group of people were tall and thin. The other group of people were more stocky in their demeanor and their size. And it was basically that was it. That was the impetus of it. And then there were other social issues as well. But to hack people to death with a machete because they look different, this is ridiculous. We have to pay attention to these things when we are getting involved in a international conflict. The point that I made, this part of the world has always been at war. I believe this part of the world will always be at war until a very specific and extreme measure is taken in the future. I believe that we must act when the chemical warfare, the chemical weapons have been used, if we find definitive proof that it has been, for a couple reasons. A, it's a violation of international law. If we are going to have it, it needs to be enforced. If we're not going to enforce it, then disband the UN, disband all this international treaty crap, and let us all be autonomous, and then deal with the consequences. But also, because President Obama said it was a red line, it's like dealing with your kids. You can't make an ultimatum and then not act on it. If you're going to say it, you got to follow it up.
There will be some sort of action taken. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, where did the sarin gas come from? If in fact it is the rebels using it, where did they get it? And
that's another interesting twist.
Because Assad says he didn't use it. Well, how far do you believe Bashar Assad? Probably no farther than he could throw him.
Not even that far.
And then, of course, he is blustering, like all of the dictators in that area have done before, saying that if we do, in fact, invade, that we will. What did he say? We will.
Oh, I don't know.
We will lose just like we did in places like Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. It's the old Saddam Hussein mother of all battles. It's the old Gaddafi line of death. What are these guys?
As far as Iraq and Afghanistan, has he paid attention to who came out on time? All right, maybe not. All right, WSAU, we got to take a hard break. Here comes the end of the hour, or the end of the half hour anyway. 715-845-2155. I know you're on the phone. I know you're calling in. Hold tight through the break. It'll be quick, and we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere.
Wisconsin Morning News now. The Jerry Bader Show at 9 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.